Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our current series of studies, The Abundant Life, as the Lord mentions it in John 10 and 10. We read there, "The Lord is the speaker, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." We're talking about the more abundant life in association with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been talking about believers, saints, members, brethren, servants, friends. Today, with the help of the Lord, we want to talk about disciples. These are people who are related to the Lord Jesus. And this gives a new sanctity, a new ambition to be like Him. Now, we read about this matter of a disciple. The definition of a disciple, really, he's a learner and a follower. The word disciple is not confined to Christ's followers. The Pharisees had disciples, and some boasted of being Moses' disciples. Some were the disciples of John the Baptist, and so stated in the scriptures themselves. Now, the word disciple is not confined to the Lord's 12 disciples either. All of his followers, I think we would have to say, were disciples. We read in Luke chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. "And it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." Now, there is a difference here. They were all disciples, but he chose 12 of them who took on a new authority, that is, of apostles. And certainly, that is a more dignified term. The word apostle means a sent one, and they were particularly sent to spread the name and fame of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's talk, if you please, about the qualifications of a disciple. He is to be like his master or teacher. This is found in Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. We read there, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. And if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?" Now that alerts us to the fact that as Christ's disciples, we're going to be subject to persecution. Now the Lord left his Father in heaven, and he endured the persecution of his enemies down here below. We read this more in Luke chapter 14. I think we should turn to there. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, 27, particularly, and verse 33. And so we read there, verse 25, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother," that's going to take some torment, "hate not his father and mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now don't let this frighten you. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now that does not mean that we start out by being a disciple by hating our father and our mother. It simply means that our Lord Jesus Christ is to take precedence over our father and our mother in the matters of serving him. And men have left their wives behind. Think of the 5 martyrs down on the Carari River in Ecuador. They left their wives and their children, and they died for Christ, martyrs, to bring the gospel to the Alca Indians. Now, that's what is meant. Now, the word hate here, father and mother, is a comparative term. Our devotion to the Lord is to be such that it would seem that the father and mother would have the right to say, he hates us. But that's not true. The Lord does not expect us to hate father and mother. How can the Lord say, the Lord who commanded the Ten Commandments, say, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, how could the Lord say, and hate your father and mother? It doesn't make sense. It's just a comparative term. Now, the disciple has strict standards. And let me tell you, there may be men listening to this broadcast today who have thought that Christianity was for women and for children. Let me say this. If you want to test your real mettle, if you want to test whether you're a man or a mouse, try to live the Christian life. If you've got the intestinal fortitude, and I'm using the polite term, to try it. Try living the Christian life. It's not for softies. It's not for pretenders. This is a life that we should be willing to forfeit our lives if necessary, but certainly not to throw them away. We are to observe all these responsibilities that we've got toward our children, our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our father and mother. We're to observe them. But if necessary, sacrifice them like those five young men did down in Ecuador on the Carari River. Now, let's go on. The Lord gave his life when he died for our sins. And the 12 disciples were all, they were all martyrs except the Apostle John. History tells us that. Those 12 disciples, every one of them were martyred. Not only Peter, but all of them, except John the Baptist, and he may have died a martyr's death while he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. We don't know. Now let's talk about the work of a disciple. It's to fulfill the ministry of the great commission that the Lord gave his disciples before he left them. This is a familiar portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And we read there, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now that word teaching is really discipling. We are to make disciples out of all people who follow our Lord Jesus Christ, who can see the necessity of giving him precedence over everything in this life, or precedence if you prefer. He has to have first place. He doesn't take second place. He demands first place. He gave us first place when he died on that cross for our sins. How can we serve a Lord who loved us and died for our sins as if guilty? He was judged to be guilty by God the Father. He took the burden of our sins and died under them. How can we see that which he gave for you and for me and have any reservations about what we're going to give back to him? We should return in kind what our blessed Lord has given to you and to me. Now we're to make disciples of all nations, and the task begins with the preaching of the gospel right to our friends, those around us. I think of a church building I was in once, that as I left the building, I was rather struck by a sign on the door. As you were going out of the door, it says there, you are now entering the mission field. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to some other continent to preach the gospel. We are to represent Christ and to try to make followers out of them. Now, we cannot do this in our own strength. We read, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10 there. Do you have your Bibles near at hand? You may wish to follow us. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein at time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and that power, the prince of the power of the air, is Satan, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," here is a pivotal conjunction, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them." Now notice, please, here, this is all of God. We were not saved through our self-efforts. We were not saved because we joined the church. We are not saved because we were baptized. We are not saved because we took the communion. We are saved when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus, believing that he completely satisfied the claims of God against us. It gives me great peace of mind and peace of soul to know that my debt of sin has been paid, and I have the privilege of telling that to everybody in the radio field. Christ died for your sins. Whether you believe him or not, he died for your sins. Now, if you go on without Christ, without accepting him, you're going to take more than the consequences of your sins. You're going to take the consequences of rejecting the lover of your souls, God himself. I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of such a person. All right? Now, he were to teach that they observe all things. We read in Romans 8 and 29, for instance. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." These are wonderful verses. They are challenging verses. The work of the Spirit is to conform us to the image of Christ. God has great plans for us. Our Father, today we thank you for the Lord Jesus, that you gave him, and that you placed upon him the burden and the penalty for our sins, and he completely put our sins away by his own death. Help us to be his disciples. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.